this is really a cool opportunity for me to be here. I've been back here with the congregation for over a month now. People are asking me how I'm settling in. I'm just excited to be here. And specifically, this in particular, getting to preach to you all is just awesome. To see familiar faces, some of which I've grown up with, and to be back here, it's just really a treat. So, I'm privileged to open up the Word of God with everyone this evening. And tonight, we're going to be in Philippians 4 this evening. So that's where you can go ahead and open up your Bibles to, Philippians 4. And the topic that we're going to look at this evening is prayer, since we're at prayer meeting. And more specifically, the prayer that brings peace. The prayer that brings peace from Philippians chapter 4. It's really going to be verses 1 through 7, but mainly focusing on some beloved verses that you may even have memorized. They get put on postcards and, you know, onto Christian memes every once in a while. There are some really powerful verses, and that's verses 6 and 7. So Philippians 4, we're going to read verses 1 through 7, specifically narrowing and focusing in on verses 6 and 7. So let's read together. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Let's pray together as we look a little bit more deeply into these verses. Lord, I thank you for your word. And this evening, I anticipate that these verses we'll be focusing on will be familiar to many of us. But I just pray that you'd open up our eyes, open up our hearts to maybe take something new away from this passage. Or maybe if there's nothing new, to just maybe open up our heart to apply this powerfully to our lives. I pray that the peace that you talk about here in your word would be attainable, and it would be something that we could walk away with and apply to our daily lives. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Oh, look at that. Okay, we got it to work. I'm not seeing it up here, but is that normal? Does it normally come up on this screen too? All right, well, that's all right. We're just gonna use it for just the opening slides anyway, so it's no big deal. All right, so we're talking about the prayer that brings peace. The prayer that brings peace. Now, when I think about those two words, mashing them together, peace and prayer, I think about maybe going on a retreat or going to like a Christian camp or something like that. You know, I don't know if you've ever had the chance to do that. You go on a hike, maybe, and you come out to like a beautiful lake or a waterfall or something, and you get out your prayer journal or something like that. Some just idyllic, beautiful scene. That's what I think about when I think about peace and prayer. I Googled those two words together, and it gave me something familiar to that scene. You know, here's somebody. I don't know if that's not the normal praying hands, but we'll assume they're beholding God's glory in nature. They're praying. Here's another image result that came up. You know, just imagine like you're sipping coffee in this comfy chair and you're praying, and wow, that's really the kind of peaceful prayer that you would want if you think about prayer and peace going together. And that's great. If you ever have a chance to go on a retreat or you have a lake or a waterfall or, you know, a couple hours and some journaling time to enjoy some coffee. But, you know, our lives don't often give us those things on a day-to-day basis, do they? In fact, our lives, you might say, are a little bit messier than what we might think of as the ideal situation in which to have peaceful prayer time with God. I put here maybe a couple different scenes of what your day-to-day life might look like. It might be the traffic of, you know, 85 or 285. It's, you know, waking up early and getting out to your work, and you're rushing and you're busy and you're slammed, and you don't necessarily have time to spend peacefully with God in prayer. Or, like Pastor Chris talked about on Sunday, the moms, you have crying kids, you have, no matter if you're going to work or staying at home, all of us are busy, and the details of our lives are a little bit messier than maybe the ideal peace that we would like to have in our prayer life. Is it possible for us to attain peaceful prayer, so to speak, in the messiness of our lives? That's really the question I want to ask this evening, and we want to take into Scripture with us. And not only are our lives filled with messiness, and which would include busyness and just any number of things, but maybe the hardest, most difficult thing keeping us from a prayer that brings peace, so to speak, is worry. Worry. We worry and are fearful about a number of different things, about the future, about money, loneliness and relationships, maybe about family, about health, about conversations we've had with people that haven't gone well, maybe conversations we need to have or don't have the courage to have. Life is full of messiness, and maybe the most difficult part of that is that our lives are filled with worry and fear. And it just seems like a lot of times the ideal prayer life that we would like to have, the peaceful prayer life, isn't really attainable. It seems out of reach. So how do we have how are we able to pray a prayer that brings peace in the middle of our messy, worry-filled lives? Let's look back at Philippians 4, and specifically verse 6. And read it over again. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This verse, in verse 7, talks about the peace of God guarding our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. What a beautiful thing. That's what we've been talking about. That's what we want. That's what we want our prayers to lead to, peace. But at the same time, in verse 6, the author of this passage, Paul, and speaking under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, God is letting us know that there is peace of God that's possible to have in our prayer life, and even in the middle of anxiety and fear and worry. I think sometimes, because these two verses are well known, it's the kind of thing that, you know, we'll see, you know, used on a postcard. We'll see it like with that idyllic lake waterfall background. And we forget that this verse isn't just for the calm, serene, quiet times, but this is actually a verse that we can use even in those difficult, anxious, worrisome times. So a prayer that brings peace is possible. And the first part of that equation is for us to realize that this prayer is possible in the middle of any mess or any worry, whatever word you're comfortable with using there. This prayer is possible in the middle of anything, any circumstance. Verse 6 says, do not be anxious about anything. And then again, right afterwards, in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. There's a repetition there of anything and everything to let us know. I think Paul is really making a point to let us know to take, no matter how bad our worries are, how bad our circumstances are, we can present them before God and still have a measure of peace in those difficult circumstances. It's possible in any situation. And you know, not just the trivial things too, because sometimes when we talk about, it'd be easy for a pastor or anybody up here to open up the word and just say, you know, God wants you to be peaceful and joyous, and it's so easy. You know, you lose your car keys, just pray for peace. You know, are you gonna get to go on that vacation this year? Who knows, but pray for peace. You know, it's not just little things. I think we can take our most difficult, hardest worries to God based on this passage. Really take them to him. The big decisions in life, a decision about where to live, what job to take, whether to continue with relationship. Some people may be facing loneliness and depression. I don't know. There's so many trials that people go through in the church, so we don't even talk about sometimes. Some of us may worry about failure at work or in the home. Or even, again, we already mentioned physical health for many. I know there are many, even at this time in our congregation, who that may be the most difficult worry at the front of your mind. Not just the trivial things, but everything. All of our biggest fears, anxieties, and worries we can take to God. And I think we can especially, that's implied, of course, by the words here in the passage itself, but I think we can reinforce this point even as we look at the surrounding context. And that's why I wanted to read verses 1 through 7, not just 6 through 7, to get a sense of what the context is. And at this church in Philippi and in the book of Philippians as a whole, we should ask, what was Paul's situation? What was these people's situation in this church? Let's look specifically back at verses 2 to 3 and read those over again. These are not as well-known verses. They don't often show up on postcards and plaques and memes, but important words nonetheless. It's in verse 2, I entreat Euodia and I entreat Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel, together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. You catch the context here? There are two women who are very much not at peace with each other. They are in the middle of some kind of fight or disagreement, whatever you want to call it. We don't know the details because the Lord has spared us the messy details of what was going on. But I am fascinated by these women. Every time I read the book of Philippians, just the more I think about it, the more I think, what was going on in that church that there needed to be a public acknowledgement to these women to get along? So this was messy. We don't see all the messy details spill out, but we know that whatever it was, it was messy. It was, these people had a fight among themselves. So we could add to our picture of this verse and the prayer that brings peace, not only that peace is possible and for maybe in our personal concerns for the future, but also, even in our most difficult relational conflict and interpersonal worries, which adds another layer to this verse that maybe I wasn't aware of or wouldn't be first to think about when I think about applying this passage. I'm used to maybe thinking about this passage in terms of decision-making for the future, right? I think of maybe this passage applying when there's like a high school senior who's thinking about what major to take. Oh, don't be anxious about the future. You know, give it to God, and he'll give you peace. But there's another layer here that is important for us to recognize, that God wants to give his peace to us even in the messiness of our relational conflict and fighting, which doesn't make for good graduation cards, but it's equally important in the life of the church. know that God wants us to have peace even with those type of worries, which is so important for us because when we think about it, really this should be the most obvious thing in the world, because where maybe 90% of our worries come from is out of our relationships and relational conflict, isn't it? Getting along with other people, broken trust with other people, difficult conversations. And it would be incomplete if we tried to apply this passage to our lives, only thinking about our personal decision-making for the future, not realizing that God wants us to have peace even in our most difficult worries with other people. So that's point one to the prayer that brings peace, is that peace is possible in the middle of any mess or in the middle of any worry. Let's look back at verse 6 here for the second point. And that's going to be, we're supposed to pray giving thanks. That's the second component of the prayer that brings peace. Verse 6, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. I think this is an important point. It almost sounds like a cliche that the author could have just thrown in. Just request something to God, and with thanksgiving, it's like just kind of peppering those words in there, and they don't really matter. But I think they're a conscious addition to this verse that let us know an important part of presenting our request to God, that when we request anything before God, we should be thankful to Him. We should be thankful to Him and bring our requests with thanks. Even in the middle, like we're talking about, even in the middle of our fears and anxieties and worries, which might seem counterintuitive, because when we're worrying, when we're consumed with worry, all we can think about maybe is those, what we need from God. We have our requests, and we need answers. We want Him to work. We want Him to act. We might not stop to think about giving thanks, but that's an essential component of having peace, even in the middle of anxieties. And it seems like that might be out of order. It seems like to pray with giving thanks when you have something you're worrying about and you have an important request to give, we might think, well, giving thanks to God is usually something I do after He grants my request, right? I would more expect that I request, He answers, then I thank, if He gives me what I need, if He answers that worry. But here, Paul's implying, no, up front, you're supposed to give thanks to God, even at the same time that you're presenting your request, which might seem out of order, might seem counterintuitive. Because how can we thank God for something He hasn't given us yet? Which leads me to believe that giving thanks in this passage isn't just about giving thanks for the request, but it's about giving thanks for God Himself, thanking Him for who He is in your life and what He has done on a larger scale than only that single request or that single worry that we need. You're presenting before Him. For example, let's say, there's so many things to worry about. Let's pick one thing out here. We're worrying about the future, maybe what job to take. There's unrest at work or something, which can be big. It's money, it's life and livelihood in the future. And we're going to God with this. We're saying, God, I need your guidance. I need your help. I need your wisdom. I need you. And if you're like me, sometimes you pray about worries and certain things are going on, and it's like at the end of the prayer, it's like your worries are worse than when you started. You have a list of things, and it's like as the list grows, your confidence in God doesn't grow. It's just like the list just gets more scary and worse. Well, here's how giving thanks can help in that situation. We say, God, I need your help in this job, or seeking your help for the future, whatever the case may be. Fill in the blank for whatever your request is, your worry is. But at the same time, stop to thank God for other things that he's done. Maybe we could think, what else has God done for us in the gospel and in history and in our lives? He's forgiven our sins. He's sent his son to die on the cross. Getting deep here, going, you know, back into salvation history. But even on a simpler level, he's been faithful to us to provide, you know, house and clothing and everything, the essentials for us, even in our personal life, for years. He has love and mercy towards us. When we stop to thank God for all these things, for who he is and what he's done, it puts God into perspective to our requests, our mess, our worries. It puts God into perspective. Our list of worries can seem insurmountable sometimes. It can seem massive, huge. That's why it's important to thank God. Take along with your list of worries, along with your list of requests, which God does want us to present to him. That's not an evil or bad thing, by the way, to give genuine requests to God, to pray about anything, job or whatever. But bring along with that list, a list of thanks. Stop to think about who God is. Put God in perspective to your worries. All right, so the first two points were to pray in the middle of any mess, any worry. Second point, pray giving thanks. And finally, pray defying common sense. This one might take a little bit more explanation here to root it to our passage. So let's look back at verse 7. Back at verse 7. It says, as we pray and submit our requests to God, verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And that's where this point comes from, is surpassing all understanding. The peace which surpasses all understanding. So when you say pray defying common sense, that's not necessarily pray, you know, like Dr. Seuss or Alice in Wonderland or something, like nonsensical, okay? But pray in a way recognizing that when you trust God and you expect to have his peace, it will a lot of times surpass understanding. It will surpass maybe the limitations that our human logic would put on him, if I could put it in those terms. The peace that God gives when we submit our request to him surpasses the limitations that our human logic places on him. That could be still maybe a little bit cloudy, so let's put it into real life by talking about some examples here. When we're worrying, and when you find yourself, the funny thing about worry is when you're worrying, you think about it, like if it's a conversation with someone that you're worrying about, you replay it in your mind, and then you replay, you know, you keep replaying it in your mind over and over again. And you begin to get a picture of this problem that you're in, this worry. And your mind is telling you there's no reason that this is going to work out. Your mind is essentially giving you a logical reason why there's no hope, why God can't help. Maybe in your personal life it would look something like this. I just can't handle the pressure of my job right now. Or maybe it would be, I've let God down again. I feel like it doesn't even make a difference if I try to please him anymore with my life. I just feel like I'm going to mess up with money, with my budget, with my husband or wife or whatever. Our human logic, our minds tell us these things when we look at our worry. That's what human reasoning says in the situation. Maybe on a relational level, it could look something like this. There's no way this relationship is going to change. I've given up. They're not going to change. They'll never see things my way. It's not going to work. Or maybe even, to put it in, you know, a church context, I just don't trust people at church, or I feel like I'm not fitting in. Or you fill in the blank. Whatever that could be. Human logic gives you 1,000 reasons why your problem is too big for God. But what I think this part of the passage means, the peace that surpasses understanding, is to say that once God gives you that peace, that limited point of understanding from our human point of view is shattered. And God's peace gives us hope, even when it seems like from a human perspective there is no hope. Even when it seems like there's no logical reason to have peace of mind, God gives peace in who he is and that he's in control. So let's go back to our examples. In a personal situation, we might tell ourselves, I can't handle the pressure of my job right now. I can't. But the peace of God comes in and says, but I know God gives strength to help in my time of need. Or maybe it's, I've let God down again. I keep failing in my Christian life. But I can have peace in knowing God has forgiven me and restores that fellowship when I confess. I feel like I'm going to mess up with my budget, with money, with my husband, with my wife, with whatever, but God gives grace. It seems like this relationship can't change, this marriage, this friendship, this parent-child relationship, but God is in control. I have peace that he gives. If we come to him with our worry, trust in him, present our worry before him. I don't trust people at church. I feel like I'm not fitting in, but God has me here for a reason. God, help me understand, your plan for me here. That's hopefully, I think, how we can apply this verse, and specifically how God's peace surpasses understanding. It defies human logic, defies common sense in a good way. So the prayer that brings peace from Philippians 4. It's not only possible when we have a beautiful retreat into the woods by a quiet lake. It's possible in the messiness of our daily lives. It's possible in the middle of worries and hardships. In the middle of any mess, give thanks. And this peace defies common sense. Let's pray. Lord, I just thank you for your word. I thank you for this opportunity, and just pray that even tonight we would have a great time of prayer together and fellowship, and we'd just be growing throughout our week, throughout our time. We wouldn't be satisfied with where we're at in our relationship with you. We'd want to know you more. In Jesus' name, amen.